Oh, it's good to be in church, and church is a place of family. It's a place of family on mission, family caring for each other, trying to love each other well, and then believing for something great together, standing together, believing for one thing. And so it's just awesome. Matt said it well, actually. Oh, by the way, George said, your tenderness is your strength. That's a good one. I think I want to put that on my wall. I wish someone would say that to me. But anyways, Matt said it well. He said, we're the church now, then, in the future, whether we're in Vancouver or in Victoria, whether we're somewhere else in Canada or around the world, the church is God's people moving for God's purposes. Is God's people. It's just us. It's just us just trying to do life and trying to love people the way Jesus loved people and believing for great things. So we happen to be in the Comox Valley. And so the church of the Comox Valley, us people and other churches in the Comox Valley, we believe for the Comox Valley. We believe that God could do some special things here, some great and incredible things here in the Comox Valley. I believe for that. It was 1 year ago today that I first entered into this. I met the council 1 year ago today. Tomorrow, 1 year ago, was the first time I ever stood on this stage and spoke at Northgate Four Square Church. Isn't that bizarre? Isn't that a weird thing? I remembered I was going to be on vacation anyways. I was going to be up here visiting my in-laws and Steve Faulkner, who oversees Foursquare Canada. He said, can you give us some times that you could come and speak and meet the council? And I still was sort of in shock at that point. I sort of didn't really realize this was happening. I was fairly new in a position at my last church as associate pastor at Glad Tidings Church, and I sort of didn't think that that was all going to happen, and so I hadn't talked to my lead pastor yet, and I hadn't, you know, I just didn't know that this was actually going to happen. And he said, okay, can you give us some times? I said, no, I can give you one time. I'll be up there at Christmas break. I can just give you one day. If it doesn't work out that day, we'll say God closed the door. That was basically it. It's all I gave. And he said, okay, well, that works. And so the poor council had to come out 2 days after Christmas to meet with me. And it was a fairly long meeting, as a matter of fact. Looks like they had a lot of questions. But we met up, and I actually just recently have been talking to a friend. He's an associate pastor at a 2,500-person church. And the church is calling him saying, hey, we want you to decide if you want to lead this church or not. In 2 years, we're ready to transition it to you. And he called me and said, well, how do I know that? How do I know? What am I supposed to do? Like, is that the position that I want? And while we talked, all of a sudden, I went back to the moment. I remember walking up the stairs over there to the upper room where I was going to meet with the council. And still, when I go on those stairs, I smell the smells, which some of you don't think it's a bad smell. Now I remember it as a good smell, so it's good. I went up there, I smell the smells, and I remember thinking two things. One, God is putting my family and I here, and it's going to happen. And two, I should be able to convince him that he shouldn't do it within a few weeks. I was so scared. I was so uncertain. I was so confused, honestly. And I tried to hide it well. I tried to look like I was ready and good. But I've never yet had a ministry experience that I was ready for. God always calls me into something I'm not ready for. He always puts me in positions where I think, nope, there's definitely someone else, and I'm too afraid, and I'm too confused, and I'm too in doubt. I'm not sure about all of that. And God says, you're perfect then. Keeps putting me in positions like that. Keeps setting me up for that. As long as I feel like God can run this church and I can be his windbag, you know, his voice, whatever, as long as I feel like that, then I've got a good spot. I'm in the right spot here. As soon as I feel like I've got this church in under control and I can handle this and I can lead it and I can take care of everything and everyone just needs to listen to me, we've got some big problems then. I need to continue to be in the place where I feel like I am so much smaller than what this church requires. Because when I'm small, then the God we serve gets to be big. That's what we want to see. That's what we want to see as a church. But I remember thinking in that moment, honestly, I was like, God, I've already got a position at a church. I've already got something going on. I've already got something happening. Why would you ask me to do this? And I know that you're asking me. I feel you asking me. But why? I already have a position where I am. I already have established a position at the church that I'm coming from. Why do this? And I really believe, and it's shaped over time, and I've started to believe it more and more over time, that God cares so much more about potential than position. He's not trying. God's not upstairs somewhere or down here or in our wherever. He's not thinking, how can I get these people in the right position so that they can do? How can I get them to the highest standing in society? How can I get them the best place or the greatest place? How can I get some rich people because I can't figure out how I can get money? How can I get some powerful people because I just don't feel like I have power? How can I? God's not saying that. God's saying, how can I use every single person's position to show them the potential they have? God wants to speak to our potential. I don't know what 2015 looked like for you. Some of you I do. Some of you I don't. Maybe at the end of 2015, you're feeling worn out. Your position is in life is feeling not good. Maybe you're wishing you had someone else's position. You're wishing you had something else from someone else. You're wishing that you had more money, or you're wishing that you were in a different place at this time, or that you had different friends, or that you didn't have to walk through those health things, or that you didn't have to have struggling family, or whatever it is, you wish you were in a different position. I want to tell you, though, if 2016, whatever 2015 has put you in, whatever position you find yourself in, there is potential for 2016. You don't have to get to a different position to find potential. God's got you where you need to be. Let me just read a verse. Isaiah 55:9. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. That's God speaking. I coached basketball for a few years in Victoria. I coached at a Christian school first, and then I coached at an inner city school. And they were night and day in what I could expect. At the Christian school, I showed up. They all had their laces tied nice on their, and lots of them had new shoes, and they all had uniforms that actually matched, and they tucked in their jerseys, and they showed up on the baseline, and I blew the whistle, and they stopped dribbling, and that was that. At the other school, I showed up. Kids were strolling into the gym about 15 minutes late. Their gym strip was pants way down low, and whatever shoes they were wearing that day, and baseball hats and shirts. And I'm like, this looks a little bit different, and I'm not sure how they're going to play basketball in those pants, but okay. But if I said to them, hey, guys, you need to wear shorts when you come here or you can't come. They didn't come. So I learned that early on. At the other school, if I said, you need to tuck in your shirt, like I could say whatever I wanted to say. You need to style your hair like mine. You know, start going bald. You need to do that. And if you'll do that, then you can play on the basketball team. They would have done it. At this school, I said, if you don't do, this could be the smallest thing. If you don't do that, you can't play. They just wouldn't come. So at practice, I'd have these kids just sweating in whatever kind of clothes they were wearing, and then they'd sit on the baseline, and I'd be like, tweet, like, look at me, tweet, 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 look at me. And there were like one guy was always doing like side kicks and stuff like that. I was just doing his thing, and one guy would just sort of walk around like this, and I'd say, hey, are you going to play? Whatever, are we scrimmaging or not? I'm like, no, not yet. Okay, I'll come back when you do. So, like, it was just brutal for a while. I just, like, what is this? But I knew Jesus had me there for a reason. So instead of trying to celebrate wins, which didn't happen, we started figuring out smaller things to celebrate. We started celebrating small things like, hey, that game, I remember literally celebrating this in the change room. That game, you didn't swear at a ref. Way to go, you know. Small wins, you know. Hey, happened. Good for you. That was a win, a victory. Hold on to that. We start figuring out the small thing. He didn't pass to the other team that play. Good job. Or he didn't dribble directly out of bounds. That was a good thing. You came with shoes. That's nice. And so we'd celebrate these smaller things and littler things along the way. And eventually, hopefully, we got a little bit bigger. But the same was with our skill level. I came in, it was a grade 9-10 class. I figured, we'd probably be working on a lot, mostly plays. The fundamentals are figured out and things. And we didn't try one play in the 2 years that I coached there. No point. There's just no point. So instead, we'd work on dribbling like with one hand, not even two hands. Like just try dribbling with one hand. Or we'd work on just passing, just very, very basic things. And one of the things that we taught them was the ready position. The ready position is when you catch the ball, getting yourself in position that you can do whatever you need to do with the ball. You can dribble if you need to dribble. You can pivot if you need to pivot. You can rip and cut. You can shoot. You can pass. Whatever you need to do, you're in the ready position, and the ball is guarded from the opposing team. And so we started working on that like crazy, because on TV, that's not what they do. You know, all they do on TV is the time on the clock is going from about 10 seconds, and it's only the game-winning baskets that you ever see. And so all they ever wanted to do, get the ball and drop a three. That was it. And so all they'd practice is three-pointers, three-pointers, three-pointers. I just want to be the winner, three-pointers. So we go, no. We need you to learn the ready position. We need you to learn to catch the ball and be ready to do whatever you need to do, because we as coaches knew that if they would catch the ball ready to dribble, ready to shoot, ready to pass, they would have more potential than any other way. And so we started working on it. Catch it and ready, catch it and ready, catch it and ready, rebound ready, catch it and ready, catch it over and over and over. And our students started to think that was the entire win. Check it out! Caught it. They're holding it like, you know, I did it! Coach, I caught it and ready. You didn't even have to tell me. I caught it and ready. This is awesome, hey? We're like, yeah, good. Now dribble, you know, now do something else. Because they started thinking, we worked so hard on that position, just catching in that position, the ready position, that they forgot that it was actually for something. They forgot the position was for something else. The position was for them to move into something else. It was for them to step into the next part of the game. It was for them to get to the hoop. It was for them to make the play, but they needed to get into that position first. Sometimes we do that ourselves. We think that once we establish ourselves in a position in life, then that's it. We're good. That position, now I've got my position in life, that one that I always wanted, that job that I always wanted, that city I always wanted to live in. There, now we're parents. There, now I found my husband or wife, my boyfriend or girlfriend, finally. There, I graduated. There, I got my license, whatever it is. Now I am good. But God, in every position that you find yourself in life, knows that it's for something else. God's got plans for every position in this room. God's got potential for every life situation in this room. Sometimes at the end of a year, we say, just didn't get where I wanted to get. And God's saying, look at all the potential of where you're at. Look at where you could go. Look at what we could do with your life. Look at the lives that you could speak into. Look at all that could happen because of what you walked through, because of the challenge that you faced, because of the difficulty that you walked through. Look at all that we could do. No one wants to. This isn't going to win a basketball game, the ready position. But without it, we may never know the potential the team has. We may never know what they have. So maybe a position is important, but for the potential, for what could happen. In 2016, let's not use our potential to receive positions. Let's use our positions to achieve our potential. There's a queen in the Bible. Her name's Queen Esther. She wasn't always a queen. For a while, she was just a sort of a regular Jewish woman. And there was this king who wasn't Jewish, and he ended up getting rid of his wife and then looking for a new wife, and there were all these ladies that came in, and Esther was one of those, and the king sort of went through and eventually picked her. He didn't ask her what nationality she was from. He didn't care. He just wanted her. He said, "That's the one for me. I want you to be my wife." And so she did that. Well, after some time, one of the top dogs in the empire decided that he didn't like Jews, and he was going to come against all the Jews, and that included Esther's people. And so Esther's uncle sends a letter to Esther, says, hey, you got to do something. You're in the king's court. You're right there. You're the queen. You're one in power. You need to do something about this. That's where we pick up. Hatak went back and reported to Esther what Mordecai, that's her uncle, had said. Then she instructed him to say to Mordecai, "All the king's officials and the people of the royal provinces know that for any man or woman who approaches the king in the inner court without being summoned, the king has but one law, that he be put to death. The only exception is that for the king to extend the gold scepter to him to spare his life. But 30 days have passed since I was called to the king." Esther basically says, "Mordecai, I get where you're coming from. I get that all of our family's going to die and all this stuff's going to happen. But really, what am I going to do? I mean, what happens in this position? I don't really have what I need to have here. I mean, he hasn't talked to me for 30 days. He's not looking to me for a lot of advice. If I go in there, I'm not sure, but if I should do that or not. And like, really, that could inconvenience me. I might lose my life, or else I might lose like my standing with the king. And we might need that standing with the king someday, right? Maybe I should just keep the position for a while. Let's see if this blows over. Let's see what happens in this time." When Esther's words were reported to Mordecai, he sent back this answer. "Do not think that because you are in the king's house, you alone of all the Jews will escape. For if you remain silent at this time, relief and deliverance for the Jews will arise from another place." Now, that's an interesting thing. He says to Esther, "Hey Esther, you think God needs your position? You think God needs your power to make this change? Do you think God needs your great might and your all that you're a part of? Do you really think he needs that to do this delivering work? This is an opportunity for you more than it is for anyone else, Esther. This is a chance for you to see your potential, for you to see what God has placed you in, for you to see the incredible things that God has done in your life. This isn't about us getting saved. God will do something different if you're not going to be faithful to this. But Esther, if you have a position of power, use it." Because some people at the end of 2015 feel like they're doing pretty well. Maybe it was your best year. Maybe you're in a position of financial health, of physical health, of spiritual health, of emotional health. Like, you feel like you've got everything. You feel like you're doing fine. This was a year of great favor. You're feeling like this was the year that God blessed us in incredible ways. Maybe your marriage is good, or school went well. And this year is really good. There's lots to celebrate, and I'm in a good position in life. God didn't just put you in that position so you could be in that position. He put you in that position so he could show you your potential. What can you do from there? From that place, what can you do? If you're in a good place, you probably have a lot to give. You probably have a lot of life to give, maybe a lot of money to give, maybe a lot of time to give. Maybe you've got a lot of wisdom to give. Maybe there's young people in your life who you need to invest in, older people in your life who you need to sit with as they're sick. Who knows what you should be doing? But you're in a position not just for the position. God puts us in positions to show us potential, give us a chance to do something great. "But you and your father's family will perish," says Mordecai. "And who knows," this is a pretty famous line from Esther, "and who knows but that you have come to the royal position for such a time as this." Esther, who knows if it's not for this very thing that God put you where you are. Who knows if it's not for this very thing that God called you to the place where you are. You think that you made this all happen, and then you're going to think that you're just going to carry on and just do it. And just I got the position. God wanted me in this position, so I better just stay in the position, because we know he wanted me here. No, he didn't want you there. He wanted to know what was going to come out of you from there. This is the same for me when I considered this position at Northgate Foursquare. And I was newly in a position, fairly new in a position at Glad Tidings Church. I remember praying, God, why? Why did I take that? Why did I feel so good about going into that position? I was a youth pastor for years. I became an associate pastor at that church. And it wasn't all that long until all of a sudden I was moving up to Courtney to pastor at Northgate Foursquare Church. I said, God, why did I feel so good about that position? I felt like God said to me, because they weren't looking for a youth pastor, they were looking for an associate. What if God only put me in that position at Glad Tidings Church so that I would get the call to this church? So that God would lead me to this place? What if he put me in that position not just for the potential there, but for the potential here? What if God set things up like that and said, I'm going to mark a few things here so that you can go? If I was saying, yeah, but God, you've given me such a great position. I've got such a good job. I feel so good. People like me. I don't know if they'll like me in Courtney, but they like me in Victoria. Why don't I just stay here in this position that you've given me? God doesn't give positions so you can have positions. He gives positions so that out of them, you can see God and you can do all that God has called you to do. He gives you positions for the potential, good or bad. Then Esther sent this reply to Mordecai, go gather together all the Jews who are in Susa and fast for me. Do not eat or drink for 3 days, night or day. I and my maids will fast as you do. When this is done, I will go to the king, even though it is against the law. And if I perish, I perish. If I die, I die. If it doesn't work out, it doesn't work out. If my position changes, it changes. But I'm here for this. So Mordecai went away and carried out all of Esther's instructions. Imagine a queen saying, if I die, I die. There were kings who did that in history too. Worship team, you can come join me. Kings who did that in history too. I started thinking, well, maybe God did put some people in positions just so they could be in positions. Like, what about David? Didn't he put him in a position just so he could be the king and lead the country well? Yeah, in part. But he also talked about his descendants all the time to him. Here's who's going to come from you. Here's how long your family will sit on the throne. Here's what's going to happen. He talked about the future. He talked about the potential, even though David got the top position in the land. I think good or bad, we often consider our position the final. We don't think about the potential that comes out of it. My friend a little while back, he was a youth leader for me for years, got married, had a really great family, 3 little kids, and he ended up having relationships outside of his marriage. His marriage started falling apart. She wanted a divorce right away. He called me, we talked about it, and we prayed, we spent some time, and eventually I said to him, so what are the people at the church, like, what are your church friends saying? Like, what's going on with that? How are things going? He says, church? I can't go to church. So what do you mean? He said, have you remember all the people that I led there? You remember all the youth that I cared about there? You remember all the people that I walked with there and I invested in there and all the people that looked up to me? I failed them all. I can't go there. What do I say to them? It was all a lie. It was all false. I actually couldn't follow through. God wasn't strong. Like, what do I say to them? When we're living for a position in life, then failure is not an option. When we're living for that position, my position is I'm a great husband. All of a sudden, someone pokes a hole in that and says, I guess I'm nothing then. If my position in life is I'm a great father, I'm a great Christian leader, I'm a great pastor, I'm great this, I'm great that, I'm a great teacher, I'm really smart, I'm really whatever. When that's our position in life, someone says, no, you're not, and you're sunk. You got nothing. I said to him, I said, how are they ever going to fail? If they look at their leader who failed, and he leaves the church because of it. You want every kid who's going to fail in the future, which they will, to leave the church because they failed? Or do you want to go show them how to fail and walk into the destiny that God still got for you? You want to go show them how to walk through failure and go stand up and say, just so you know, I was never here because of my good deeds. I was never here because of my good work. I've fought for Jesus only, but he's put me in every position that I've got. He's empowered me in all the places that I've been, and I'm never going to stand here and say that I'm good enough without him. And as soon as I am, then I'm standing on a position, not the potential God has for me. Said, you got to get back in there. You got to go show them what failures look like in the kingdom of God. So every single one of us, if you know Jesus, you know that that came out of your failure and your sin. Until you know that you're a failure, until you know that you've sinned, until you know you're broken, you can't know the healer. You can't know the restorer. You can't know the one who saves unless you need a salvation. So if you're good on your own, then God says, what does it actually say? The Bible says God opposes the proud. If you're good enough on your own, God says, I'm looking the other way. Opposes. You don't think of God opposing much. God opposes the proud. What position do you find yourself in? In a position you're not allowing God to speak to you about the potential? You're in a position that you don't want to lose? You're in a position that you feel like you fought for so hard? Are you in a position that you feel like is not good enough? Maybe even you're feeling like you're walking through addiction, and the whole goal is, I want to be free of this addiction. That's a great goal. I want to tell you, it's not so you can be in the position of a freed person. It's so that you can walk into that and invest in all the people who are coming behind you, all the brokenness who's coming behind you, and you can say to them, you're not alone. I've done this. I've walked through it. I'm on the other side. Come and join me over here. I'm over there. God's already brought me through. God's already brought me out of that. Not for me, but for you. Maybe it's actually in your marriage. Maybe this year your marriage has started falling apart and it's broken and it's messed up and you can't figure it out. Maybe there was some extramarital activity. I don't know, but there are people in this church who have walked through that and have a strong marriage now. And because of that, everyone who walks through that can go to them and say, help us. God wants to use your position for the potential that he has through you, good or bad. If it's bad, that's good, because bad people can come and say, hey, I'm bad, and then you can show them what happens when you come to Jesus Christ. And he sets you free to be something so new, so fresh. That's the story of Christmas. That's the story of 2015. Whatever position you're in right now, God's got a plan, and he's got potential for you in 2016. Let's pray. Actually, yeah, you can keep your eyes closed and your head bowed. If there's anyone in here today who says, my position is that I've never felt good enough. I'm here at church. I'm not feeling good enough again. Not feeling like there's much potential that can come out of me. I'm not feeling anything special right now. I'm not feeling like I'm particularly capable of much. If you're feeling that way today, Jesus Christ wants to meet you and say, hey, hey, hey. There's potential for you in this position. There's plans for you from this point on. There's exciting things for your future if you will turn to me and say, yeah, you have gotten damaged. Yeah, you have been broken. Yeah, you have been wearied. Yeah, you have made some wrong decisions. You have sinned and walked the path. But the position that you're in right now, I have potential for you. If today you say, I need to turn to that Jesus and allow him to restore me and allow him to speak life into me, and I want to walk it out with him, I want to know the potential that he gives. If that's you, would you just raise your hand so I can pray for you? Yeah, I'll pray for you for sure. Is there anyone else? I'll pray for you for sure. Bless you. Anyone else that needs that prayer? I'll pray for you. Of course. I'll pray for you. Thank you. You can drop your hand as you go. Pray for you. Anyone else? Anyone else who says that? I'll pray for you. Bless you. Bless you. Pray for you. Jesus. Let us never come to church. Let us never come to church and leave here unacquainted with your grace and your mercy for us. Today, Lord, I pray in Jesus' name that those who come before you and say, I've messed up and my position in life is not of strength, it's of weakness. My position in life is not of wholeness, it's of brokenness. I pray that those who come to you saying that today, Jesus, would know in Jesus' name wholeness. They would know restoration. They would know health. They would know life. They would know strength in Jesus' name. That's what we're all about, God. We're all about weakness becoming strong because of Jesus, and brokenness becoming whole because of Jesus, and sickness becoming health because of Jesus. For those who have lifted their hand and have turned to you today and said, I just need what you've got for me, meet them, Jesus Christ. Holy Spirit, minister to their hearts. Let them feel your presence. And Lord, we just ask that we would expect massive things for 2016, because no matter what position this church finds itself in, whether it's the smallest or the biggest, the quickest growing or the slowest growing, whether it's whenever it's meeting, whoever it's meeting with, Lord, you have potential for this church. You have dreams for this church. You have plans for this church. So I pray that 2016 would be a year like we've never seen before. We'd expect great, great things. In your name we pray. Amen. 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 Well, bless you all. Thanks for coming on this Christmas Sunday, December 27th Sunday, celebrating 1 year with me since I was here the first time. Nervous and shaking. Thanks for doing that. Thanks for being here. And I'm really expecting a great, incredible 2016. Next week, we're going to talk a new series called What If We? What if we? What if we dreamed a little bit? What if we had a little expectation in our heart? What if we started loving people like Jesus asked us to love them? Come back next week. We want to start talking about that. We're going to believe for an incredible year ahead. Can we have something a little bit happy? Let's do it. Let's do something happy. See you all next week. We can all stand up, shake some hands while you sing, say hello to someone, say goodbye to someone, have a great week. Go in God's peace and believe for God's greatness this week.